3, look at verse number 1. Just look at one verse tonight. Very simple. Not going to make it complicated at all. Paul in this chapter presents himself in a number of different ways. He speaks of the different roles, if you want to call it that, different roles that he is playing, essentially, and pieces of the puzzle, so to speak, in God's will for his life. We know the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and what a blessing his letter is. We know that from this letter we are very clear that we are saved, David, by grace. So you need to listen up, all right? We are saved by grace. We are saved not because of anything that we do, but entirely of God's unmerited favor. We also learned how dead we were in sin before we were saved, and how that God has delivered us from that through the Lord Jesus Christ. We also learned in chapter 2 that Jesus, because of Jesus Christ, we are a part of His kingdom, and we are members of His family. We are stones in the living temple of God, and what a blessing that has been. Now, Paul, as he opens up chapter 3, I believe is trying to express to the Ephesians his desires for them. And in verse number 1, you see verses 1 through 14 or 13, is really Paul's prayer for the Ephesian believers. We look in chapter 3, verse 1, there's a statement I want to focus on, and that is, it says here in verse chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says of himself, he says, "I am, for this cause I, Paul," and notice the next phrase, "the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And I want to preach tonight just for a few moments on Paul, the prisoner. And I think this helped transform Paul. I don't know about you. I've never had to go to prison, thankfully. Amen. And certainly, in any case, I've never had to go to prison for my faith. And I don't know about you. I think that if I had, or if any of us have, had to go to prison for our faith, I think it would transform us. I think it would sort of like be a shock to the system, right? You know, it's one thing to go to jail or to go to prison because you've done something wrong. It'd be another thing altogether to have to go there because of your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at some insights about Paul's imprisonment, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to us together tonight. Let's pray, all right? With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. What a blessing it is to gather in this evening. Thank you for a place to gather. Be with our brothers and sisters traveling, wherever they may be. Thank you for the wonderful nursing home service. Father, for the gospel, opportunity to present the gospel once again. I pray you'd be with Anthony, and that you would be with Allwood and others that I don't believe are saved, Lord, that need to know the truth. I ask, Lord, that there would be opportunity even beyond the nursing home service to reach them with the gospel, that you would use our church, or the Christians that make up this church, to be a light to those folks. Bless us now. May we honor you in everything we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So chapter 3, verse 1, there's three things I want you to notice tonight about the imprisonment of Paul and Paul, the prisoner. Cadence, how would you like to be a prisoner? Right? Have to live behind bars. Hey, let me out of here! Let me out of here! Hey! Right? Not be able to go wherever you want to go. When Paul wrote these letters, now, William, have you ever gotten a letter? Yeah, you've got a letter, right? Are those pretty special? Do you like to read the letters? Do you like to read them over and over again? No, guys aren't usually like that. Girls like to read them over and over again, right? Cadence, have you ever gotten a letter? Yeah, maybe from a friend or grandma and grandpa. Right? Do you like reading those letters? Aren't those special? Do you realize that when Paul is writing the book of Ephesians, he's writing a letter. He's writing a letter to a church. So it'd be like if a preacher that had a big part in our church had traveled far away, he's in jail, and he's writing us letters about our Christian faith and our Christian walk. And that's exactly what Paul's doing here. So number one, I want you to look here in chapter 3, verse 1. We see Paul identifies as a prisoner. It's just simply a word simply meaning one held in bonds. Now, when Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, he had been in prison for nearly 5 years. He was arrested by the Jews and then charged with
taking a man by the name of Trophimus, who was a Gentile patriot or partner, companion of Paul's, into a forbidden area of the temple in Jerusalem. And you see that in Acts chapter 21. But he did not do this. He did not break the law, but the Jews believed that he did, and they tried to kill him, but he came under the protection of the Roman soldiers. So the Jews wanted to kill Paul. They hated him. They hated him not just because they thought he had broken their laws, but they hated Paul because of his stand for the gospel, because of his conversion. You got to think, Paul was one of theirs, right? They hated Jesus Christ. They wanted nothing to do with this supposed Messiah. And Paul now was really a promoter of Jesus Christ, a witness for Jesus Christ. Now, Paul fell under the protection of the Roman Empire because he was a Roman citizen. Now, if he hadn't have been, the Jews probably would have killed him. Now, he was taken into custody there in Jerusalem and then eventually sent to Caesarea, where he spent 2 years in prison. And while there, the Jewish Sanhedrin, the Roman governors Felix and Festus, and King Agrippa examined him. Now, Paul appealed to Caesar. He said, you know what? I want to go see the Caesar. I want to be like William, be like you and I going to the courts, and you saying, I want to go see the president of the United States. Yeah? But under Roman law, a Roman citizen could do that. They could go and they could appeal to Caesar. Now, for us, it'd be appealing to, like, the Supreme Court. And so, Paul was sent to Rome. And in Rome, he was under house arrest for nearly the next 2 years. He lived in a rented house. And during the day, he was free to move around. But at night, he was chained to a Roman soldier to prevent him from escaping. Paul's life was not one of luxury. Paul's life was not one of ease. Now, certainly at this point, he's not in a deep, dark dungeon. But he is under arrest. You know, if you think about it, I don't think that Paul ever anticipated that he would end up in this situation. Now, they had warned Paul before he went to Jerusalem that he would be in bonds. But here is Paul in Rome. I talked to the nursing home folks about, we preached out of Rome. Here's Paul in Rome, a prisoner of the Roman Empire, and chained, at night at least, to a Roman soldier. But I'll tell you this, Paul is in prison because he dared to preach of Jesus Christ. You know, the life is very much like that. Life will take you where you had no clue. You think about life. I mean, today is the 9th anniversary of us coming to Washington. Or really, we came like last week, maybe 9 years. But our first Sunday pastoring here at Faith Baptist Church, 9 years ago. And life has taken its path. I mean, the very fact, as I mentioned, Will, that our family is in Washington, to me, is amazing. I'm sure Brother Phillips, did you ever think you'd be living in Washington? No, he probably thought, man, I'll be in Colorado, you know. And then he met this dear lady, and now they're in Washington, right? Amen. You know, Miss Patty, did you ever think that you would have to have all the troubles you've had over the last couple months? No, never thought that, did you? But that's how life is. Boy, life will oftentimes take us in places we had no clue. Now, here's Paul. I'm sure he'd rather be out preaching the gospel, going on more missionary journeys, but God had a purpose, God had a plan for his life. The truth of it is, we don't know what's best for ourselves. We like to think we do, David. We have to trust God. Are you listening to me? Andrew, are you listening? We have to trust God. He knows what is best. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? Do you know this one, Will? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Proverbs 16, 9 says, and a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Jeremiah 10, 23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that thou walketh to direct his steps. It is God who directs us. Now I want you to go down. We're going to look at number two here. Like I said, very quickly, the context of his imprisonment. He's in jail because he dared to preach the gospel. Before I move on, we have to recognize that day is coming here. Some of you know my dad actually was put in jail for preaching the gospel in the city of Chicago. It happens. Now thankfully he was able to get out the same day, but they put him in jail. And we must prepare ourselves for that. We must ready ourselves. I don't think we should be afraid of it. Right? We're very comfortable. There may very well come a day, oh, it never happened, Pastor. It's just, you're just trying to scare us. I don't think I am. I've said this before, as we raise our children, we should raise them very well to be martyrs for the cause of Christ. It would be no greater thing for them to die for Christ or even ourselves. But let's go on. The cause of his imprisonment. Why was Paul in jail? He says in verse number 1 again, he says, For you Gentiles. God has taken this strong, powerful, prejudiced Jewish man, and what has he done? He's made him a missionary to the Gentiles. And he's put him in a place where God has used him in a mighty way. And the Jews hated Paul for this. Almost as much as they hated Jesus Christ, they hated Paul because he dared take the gospel to the Gentiles. Why? Because the Gentiles were hated. The Gentiles were viewed as nothing but dogs. Hatred. Right? Well, it would sort of be like you, right? And let's say God called you to go to China to take the gospel to the Chinese. And because you did that, everybody in America hates you. That'd sort of stink, wouldn't it? Yeah. You say, I'm trying to do a good thing. I'm trying to help these Gentiles know the gospel. We hate you. We want to kill you. That's exactly how the Jews responded to Paul. Now, when the Jews had Paul arrested, had him shipped off, they probably thought that they had quieted him down. They probably thought they had silenced him. But you know what Paul did? He wrote letters. He encouraged churches. You know, I think of Sister Patty. You're probably the best illustration right now, right? Sometimes we can get that way. Maybe you mamas. You think, oh, you know what? I can't do anything. You know, I can't really go door knocking. I can't really go street preaching. I just got to take care of these little towheads, these little brats. God has a purpose, doesn't He? Yeah. I like that. You know, Miss Patty can say, well, what can I do? I'm not feeling well a lot. It gets hot outside. My MS acts up. You know, my eyes aren't feeling well. I can't hear very well. I'm just falling apart. But that's not God's plan. The Jews thought they were going to shut Paul up, didn't they? They thought, we'll put him in jail. That'll stop him. Yeah. Didn't stop him at all, did it? He wrote. And in fact, Philippians 4:22 says that he won people to the Lord there in Rome. In fact, in Philippians 4:22, he writes to the believers there and he says, all the saints salute you, listen, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. So here's old Paul. They thought, man, we're going to get rid of Paul. We're going to throw him in jail. And guess what? Paul was a witness regardless. He's going to the Caesar's house. The people that worked at Caesar. Now, Caesar, William, he was the most powerful man in Rome. He was the king, the leader. And you know what Paul's doing? Paul's witnessing the people that work in his house. Maybe even some of his servants. Maybe even some of his family. Paul's over there saying, hey, I know you're related to Caesar, but you need to get saved. Jesus Christ came. Don't worship those false gods. They're not going to save you. I like that about Paul. What an amazing thing that God did through him. It's interesting that they didn't consider Paul a very powerful preacher. Paul wrote the following in 2 Corinthians. He said, of himself, listen to what he says, for his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. What did people say about Paul? They said, he's horrible. Right? They wouldn't be flocking to Paul's preaching like they do to like Joel Osteen or something, you know, right? Super slick and super smooth, but guess what? God used him anyway. I like that. It gives me some hope. Right? Doesn't have to be all slick. Doesn't have to be all smooth. We just need to simply be willing to be used by God. God will use you in spite of yourself. God will use you in spite of your enemies. And we've got to recognize that. Paul's enemies thought, man, we've got him shut up now. Did they shut Paul up, Cadence? No. He was still writing letters. He was witnessing to people. We ought to just be willing to let God use us no matter what, no matter where we are. God has you where He has you because He wants to use you for His glory. That's hard to think about. Sometimes we're in a place in life, it's like, this stinks. This stinks! You know, God may have you there and does have you there for a purpose. We need to allow Him to accomplish His purpose. We're not going to stop Him. God's will is going to be done. I like that. It don't matter what man tries to do. It doesn't matter what the world tries to do. You're not going to stop God. Can you imagine? Imagine with me, Caden. So Jesus just died, right? He died on the cross. And can you imagine what the devil was thinking when he got put in the grave? You think the devil was all sad? Oh, Jesus died. You think that's what the devil did? No, he was probably, yes! We won! All right! Jesus died! Woohoo! The devil thought he had stopped God, didn't he? Well, what happened 3 days later, Will? Could you imagine? Right, as that door rolls away, the devil's like, oh, wait, stop! Maybe he's trying to push on the other side. Could even the devil stop God? No, God's will is going to be done. And we can be confident in that. Young people, listen to Pastor. You can trust God. If it's God's will, God will accomplish it. Just like I preached this morning, part of being saved is clinging to God, knowing that if God said He's going to take me to heaven because I'm a Christian, what's God going to do? What's God going to do, David? Where's He going to take you if you're a Christian? To heaven! Won't that be exciting? You can trust that. You can believe that nothing will stop Him. God has you right where He wants you. And the best thing we can learn to do is grow where we're planted. I like that little song, Brighten the Corner Where You Are. Do. That's the truth. Let me give you this last thing. I really like this third part. I really want you to grab a hold of this. Number three, we've seen the context, why he was in prison. Number two, we saw, the context of his imprisonment, where he was a prisoner. We saw the cause of his imprisonment. Let's look at number three. We see the controller of his imprisonment. Who was Paul's keeper? Who threw Paul in jail? The Jews, okay, yeah. Anybody else want to take a guess? Who else? Who threw Paul in jail? Who was keeping Paul prisoner? Cadence, what do you think? The Jews? Very good. That means you were listening. What do you think, Will? The devil? Oh, okay. Andrew, who else? Who else could have been in Paul's prison keepers? I mean, where was he? He's in Rome, so who's his prison keepers? Okay, the Roman centurion. You're wrong, though. You're wrong. Nope, not Caesar. Look at the verse. Who's his prison keeper? Who's the one keeping Paul in jail? Ah, no, Mom had it right. You know who had it? Mrs. Phillips? Or somebody. She's pointing back. Brother Phillips! We'll get the right. Brother Phillips got it right. All right? Who was keeping Paul in jail? Jesus. Why would Jesus keep Paul in jail? I don't know. That's exactly what Paul says, though. Look what the verse says. For this cause I, Paul, what? The prisoner of who? Of Jesus Christ. I like that, don't you? Paul says, I'm not a prisoner of the Romans. I'm not a prisoner of the Jews. I'm not a prisoner of the Caesar. I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I don't think he thought he was a prisoner. I don't think he thought he was in a bad way. He says, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but if anybody's going to be my prison keeper, I'd like it to be Jesus. I'll be in Jesus' prison all the time. That's the best place to be in jail. Paul says, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul, listen now. Listen, Will. Paul saw himself as a man who lived under the sovereign control of God. He knew. Number one, the Jews couldn't kill him unless God allowed it. The Romans couldn't cut off his head unless God allowed it. That's some boldness, isn't it? You know that, David? Paul said, my prison keeper is who? Jesus. Because He's in charge. He's the boss. Right? Are the Romans the boss? Are the Jews the boss? Is Caesar the boss? No, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, none of the bad things that they want to do to me can happen unless God says it's okay. And if God says it's okay, then guess what? I'm okay. I don't need to worry about it. Because who's my prison keeper? Jesus Christ. I like that attitude. Paul didn't sit there, oh, I'm a prisoner of the Romans. So bad. So good. He says, no, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. The Romans may have kept him chained, but Paul was bound to Christ by the very fact that Jesus had redeemed him from the deadness of sin and given him a new life. Paul was a prisoner of Jesus Christ by the very fact that he is bound to Him forever. Because Jesus said what? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You ain't getting away from me. You're mine. I like that. You know, you can take great comfort in that, David. You're going to put your feet down now. Pay attention. And no matter where you go, David, if you're a Christian, who's with you? Who? The Lord. Isn't that good? Now, you can take that one of two ways. You can take that as a comfort, or you can take that as a something of a warning. Because, Cadence, when you're being naughty, who's right there with you listening? Ooh. He's watching you, David. When you're sitting there and you're fighting with Timothy, Jesus is just sitting there watching you. How do you think He feels about that? Oh, it breaks his heart. Will, if you sitting there, you're lying to your mama or your daddy, who's sitting there listening? God. You think He's happy about all that? No, I don't think so. Not only is it a sad thing, but it could be a happy thing, right? Well, I'll tell you, there's been times I've been afraid. But Jesus is there. There's been times I didn't know what was going to happen. Great uncertainty. But Jesus was there. Paul says, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He had a great perspective. He's in control. Paul's faith had grown. Go to Philippians. We're there in Ephesians. Just a few pages to your right there. Philippians. Look at verse chapter 1. And look at verses 12 through 14. Paul says, not only am I a prisoner of Jesus Christ, but I'm happy about it. I'm glad I'm in jail. I'm glad that I'm a prisoner. Chapter 1, verses 12 through 14 says, Paul writes, he says, but I would ye would understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. He says, you know, I'm in jail, but guess what? The gospel has gone further because of it. I'm okay with that. Look at verse 13. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. So everybody around Caesar's palace was talking about Paul. Hey, did you hear about that crazy missionary guy we got downstairs? In that house downstairs? He says he's a Christian. But you know what? I thought he was crazy, but I went down there and listened to him. And he talked about this guy named Jesus. And he talked about how he died. And then he rose again. I've never heard anything like that. I mean, we've got gods. We worship all kinds of gods. But he says this God, Jesus, died on the cross. And then he was buried. And then 3 days later, he got up out of the ground and rose again. That's crazy. Have you ever heard anything like that? That's what was going on around Caesar's palace. Look at verse 14. Not only was Paul's testimony loud and clear, but look what it says about others. It says, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Sometimes what happens in our lives actually can be an encouragement to others. We can use it to be a blessing to others. Paul says other people are emboldened because of what's taking place in my life. You know, perspective is everything, right? You ever seen someone take a picture and it looks like they hold their hand out and they have a friend standing on a far hill and it looks like they're holding their friend in their hand? Now, I don't know about you, and it looks like their friend is like a miniature person. You ever seen a picture like that? I'll have to show you guys a picture like that. So there's a camera trick that you can do, and you can make it look. I remember we were at the Garden of the Gods, Brother Phillips, in fact, with our teen group. And, you know, there's big, you know, places you can climb on the rocks. Probably not supposed to, but we were doing it anyway. And I remember taking a picture, and I was holding my hand out, and my friend was standing on a rock far away. But when I held my hand just like this, the camera made it look like what? Where was he standing? In my hand. Now, was he really standing on my hand? No, but that was the perspective, right? It looked like he was standing on my hand. Now, that's silly. My parents went up to Canada to the there's a place you can basically do kayaking through the just very calm lakes, and in this one part there's a lake, and right under they had a picture, and if you look at the picture, it looks like they're walking on water. It does. My mom and their friend, this was many years ago, they got a picture, and it looks like they are literally walking on water. But what you can't see is that right below the water is what? Some rocks. And while it looks like they're walking on water, what they're really walking on is what? See, perspective, how you see things is everything. If you're going through a hard time and the way you view it is like, this stinks. Oh man, this is horrible. Oh, I don't know why God lets me go through this. Blah, 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 blah. Your perspective is wrong, right? Or you can view it another way, can't you, Will? You can view it, Andrew, as, you know what, God has me here. I don't know why. Right, Brother DJ? Sometimes I'm sure you've been there. I don't know why God has me here. I don't like it, but guess what? He put me here. So He's got something for me. I got something to learn. Now, you see the difference in perspective, right? I'm sure you've thought that a little, Patty, going through the trouble. God, why can't I help? Everything just seems to go wrong. Rather than you need to look and say, God, I know You're in control. My body is Yours. You're the great physician. So if I'm going through it, You got a purpose, You got a plan, You got a reason. I'm going to trust You. I want to read you an email that a pastor friend got. It said this, it says, I know you don't care. This is someone writing this pastor. I know you don't care, but I'm going to write you this letter anyway. By accident, I read the sermon where your dream becomes a nightmare. At the end, you say, bring your life to Jesus and let Him turn them into a source of glory. Well, I had a vision for service and thought that God was leading me, but that was 25 years ago. I am now 46 and too old and beat up to be used of God if He wanted to use me. I am broken spiritually, financially, relationally, emotionally, and every other way. I worked in the church for years, but have quit totally. In fact, I have basically quite quit going to church. It does not work. This is what this guy is writing. It does not work, and God does not fix you. I think of suicide almost daily. Well, as I said, I doubt you care or can do anything. So I guess this is just a waste of time, so I'll quit writing. Boy, isn't that sad? He has the wrong perspective, doesn't he? He's ready to quit. He's ready to kill himself. Yet, if he could only see his life through God's eyes. That's not how God sees it, is it? God doesn't look at your life and say, oh, what a waste. Why don't you just, does God ever just want you to go away and quit? No. He says, I can redeem that. I can use that. I love that about our Lord. My question for us tonight is, who is your warden tonight? Who is your prison keeper? Right? Before you get to pouty lip, who's in charge of your life tonight? Who's your prison keeper? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it some circumstance, you think? Or is it some person? You say, well, if this person would just go away, my life would be so much better. No, it wouldn't. God's allowed this to happen. If you're a Christian, God has allowed this to happen. We need to confront that. Paul knew. He said, I am under God's control. Listen to me, and I'm done. If you're a prisoner of your circumstances, you're probably a miserable person. if you are a prisoner and allow the actions of other peoples to cause your problems, guess what? You'll never have joy. How many times have we said to ourselves, oh, if only they would be different, my life would be so much better. Guess what? Guess what? Cadence could say, oh, if Chloe would only be a better sister, my life would be so much better. Can you make Chloe a better sister? Can you change her? No. Who can you change? You can change you. Right? Whose attitude can you change? Yours. Whose actions can you change? That's right. Can you change Chloe's attitude? Wouldn't that be nice if there was like a remote control and you could go beep and Chloe would just be happy? That'd be nice, wouldn't it? It doesn't work that way. Right? Right? Your mama could say, oh, if daddy would just be different. Guess what? Sister Phillips, you can't change him. I know, a lot of people get married and think, man, I'm going to change him. He's going to be a better man. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Right? I can look at Sister Christy and say, boy, if she was just a little different, boy, my life would be better. Guess what? It ain't going to happen. And we can't let the actions and attitudes of others dictate our joy. I'm serving God. Guess what? When you do that, they become your prison keeper. You've literally put yourself, say, go ahead, handcuff me to your attitude. Well, that's stupid. Right? No, I'm sorry, maybe that's a bad word. I know I get in trouble sometimes. It's not a very smart thing to do. All right? I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I'm going to make sure my attitude, David, I'm going to make sure that my life is, he's happy with it. And if other people got a problem, guess what? I can't control that. I can't change that. And I'm not going to be prisoner to their attitude. I'm not going to be prisoner to their circumstances. I'm a prisoner to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every step of every day, we have that unseen hand of God leading us. I like that. Let me finish up. Our lives are not a product of chance, of karma. Karma is not Christian. You say something, people say, well, that's just karma. Karma is Eastern meditation. Karma is Eastern religion. It's not Christianity. All right? No such thing as karma. Now, there is such thing as you reap what you sow. Right? Be sure your sin will find you out. There are such things as that. There's no such thing as luck. You say, oh, you were just lucky. No. Or, you know, be careful. And I do this. I say this sometimes. They were fortunate. You know, under fortunate comes Fortunato. She's a Greek god. You weren't fortunate. No Greek god had any part in what your life. You were blessed. Or God was, it was providence, God's hand upon your life. I want to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ. We need to just simply be humble before the Lord. Walk the path He wants us to walk. Let me give you one last story. Back a long, long time ago, a man by the name of William Barclay shared this story. He said, there's a famous story of the days when Sir Christopher Wren was building St. Paul's Cathedral. On one occasion, he was walking around the cathedral, taking a tour of its progress. He came upon a man who was working there in this, and a cathedral is like a big church. And he's walking around this big church, this big cathedral, and looking at all the work that the men were doing. And he came to this one man who was working hard and asked him, what are you doing? The man replied, he said, well, I'm cutting a stone, a certain size and a certain shape. He came to a second man, and he said, what are you doing? And the man replied, I am earning so much money at my work. He came to the third man, he said, what are you doing? And the third man replied, I am helping Sir Christopher Wren build St. Paul's Cathedral. If a man is in prison for some great cause, he may either grumblingly regard himself as an ill-used creature, or he may radiantly regard himself as the standard bearer of some great cause. The one regards his prison as a penance, the other regards it as a privilege. When we are undergoing hardship, unpopularity, material loss for the sake of Christian principles, we can regard ourselves as a victim, or we can regard ourselves as someone as part of the victory. When you study history, there were many great men that went through some really bad times. And when you look at it, if you looked at it from their perspective, there was no reason. But when you look at it from our perspective, hundreds of years in the future, you look and say, you know what? I'm glad they went to jail. Because they stood for the cause of Christ. How's your perspective tonight? Who's your jailkeeper? Huh? Hopefully it's the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't blame others for your problems. You can't sit there and be the victim. You've got to say, you know what? I'm where God wants me. And if it stinks, then He wants it to stink and He wants me to learn something. Right? I am His prisoner. I am His servant. He guides my steps. All right. Well, let's pray together, shall we? Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. Lord, help us to have the right perspective. I thank You for the Apostle Paul. What a beautiful attitude. What a Christian attitude he had, Lord, to look at his time in jail and to think of himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ, one who was imprisoned by the Lord. I pray that You would help our attitudes, Father. That, Father, we wouldn't sit there and blame everybody else. We wouldn't sit there with a poor, bad attitude. But, Father, we would realize that whatever place in life we are in, that You have allowed it to happen. And we need to trust You in it. Lord, we know that we can't change anybody else, but we can simply, Lord, allow You to change our lives. I pray that You bless us now as we go our separate ways, be with our brothers and sisters that are traveling on their vacations. Keep them safe, I ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, anything before we go tonight? Brother DJ?